The following is a paid commercial program. The views, opinions, and advice presented are that of the host and guests and do not represent any guarantee of results or represent the opinions of the staff and management of 100.7 WHUD or Pamel Broadcasting. Mahoney Asset Management presents A GPS for Your Finances, hosted by their president and CEO, Ken Mahoney, with his son, Connor Mahoney. Ken is a Hudson Valley resident and businessman with over 35 years of experience in retirement planning, the investing markets, investing strategies, and more. Every Sunday morning, Ken and Connor present this show to help you navigate today's complicated financial landscape, to make it easier for you to understand, and they answer your questions. Now, here's Ken and Connor Mahoney with A GPS for Your Finances.
Welcome to another edition of A GPS for Your Finances. I'm your co-host, Ken Mahoney, along with my son, Connor Mahoney, both of Mahoney Asset Management. Heard every Sunday morning in Westchester and Hudson Valley, right here on 100.7 WHUD. It's where Generation X meets Gen Z with questions and answers. Your questions and our answers. Now, we cultivate these questions throughout the week from clients, prospective clients, and through administrative staff. So if you have a question, we hope that we're answering the same question. And throughout the show, our goal is to simplify this complex financial world around us. All right, Connor, before we get into this week's and the questions, let's talk about those Yankees. Were at game two beating the Red Sox. So tell your listeners what it was like at that game.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I guess a lot has happened in baseball since we've had a show. The second game went, and by the way, there's a statistic out there about people who, teams that lose that first game in a 3-game set, they usually lose a series like 80 or 90% of the time.
Right.
So you have to win that game, obviously, to push game three. And it was funny. I was out in the outfield, I was watching, and Austin Wells is a catcher in the Yankees. He's okay. He's all right. And I just was in my buddy's ear, I don't think he's gonna do anything. Like, he sucks. Next thing I know, the pitch comes in, he crushes one down the line, and Jazz Chisholm scores all the way from first. And that was like a go ahead. That's a game winning hit.
That's exciting. The stadium must be rocking.
I jinxed him, which maybe was good.
Yeah, and the stadium was rocking. You were definitely the 10th player. I guess you'll be going to the next one against Toronto, not in Toronto, but Yankee Stadium. So
yeah,
you're going to have to tell me how those games.
This was my maneuver, by the way, for that. If anyone wants to go to a playoff game for cheap, you get the 400 section. They're maybe less than $100. I think we might have paid $80. And then you go out in the outfield and you can just walk around and scope your way in there. And there's like a whole standing section. So just hang out there.
Good for you. That's a good hack. So it doesn't
have
to, you don't have to break the bank to go to playoff game. Look at this. We're giving great advice.
Before you answer
questions, how to get into a Yankee game. You're right. It's actually, since the new stadium, they made it like Camden Yards, like Citi Field, where you can walk around and experience it. So good for you. All right. So we do have some questions. I'm sure that we have to, that we need to answer and we want to answer for a listening audience.
Yeah. Let's go over the market recap.
Okay. So I'll let you start with the market recap.
Yeah. So I guess government shutdowns are good for the market.
Ish, it's crazy.
That's basically the recap of the week. Pretty interesting. It's every time we pull back, I'm like, oh, is this it? Are we going to have like some 6% correction or something normal? No, we just end up going higher again. So that's what happened this week. We ended up at right around 6,700 in the S&P, which is pretty incredible.
When I get my market reports, I always do the horn sound. Dun, dun, dun. We got a lot of horn sounds and bugles. Does that sound like a horn sound to you? Does it sound like a duck, a frog? No, what does that sound
I get
like?
That. It's like a medieval kind of horn.
Medieval.
I know
you probably thought I was born in the medieval times, but that's another story.
The S&P opened, the week of the 1st, September 1st. We were at 6,350, over 6,700 in like 1 month. It's just crazy. Yeah, so this week we're up again. Crazy Friday. A lot of ripped and then fell, but we ended up higher. So a lot of crazy small caps going up, a lot of like penny stocks. We're in like one of those environments. So. Make hay while you can.
Rotating, right? Yeah, so I guess the recap I have is also the government shutdown on my list of what happened this past week. And I would say also that pretty much cements the Federal Reserve at the end of this month will indeed cut rates again. They don't meet in November and they meet again in December. Why? Because this creates uncertainty. This creates angst. And the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates before all of this, the government shutdown, and hope it's measured in days, not by weeks. And we hope we're not setting a record for the longest government shutdown. There are some, collateral damage things that happen when you have a shutdown. But I would say one of the reasons why the market actually went higher in the face of this uncertainty pretty much a 97-98% chance, Connor, you can tell us me in a second, that they will cut rates. And this is the kind of explanation point. 95% Fed fund rates. Great. So that is our recap, at least what we thought was important this week. We must have some mailbag questions. Actually, we promised last week we were about finishing a question. It was like such a good question. Let's continue with that question. I hope you have that still.
Yeah, I think I do. It's like, what do you do when you retire? Do you take another job? What, like, you've seen a lot of people, you know, retire, of course, in your career. That's like a big part of our, you know, what we do. And I would assume you had some insights on that for people who might be retiring soon or retired. And yeah,
you know, I did a lot with this because it's a balancing act. You know, you look at your numbers, then you look at lifestyle, right? So now you retire. And it's so funny, Connor, over the years, I think, like, you know, in your elementary school, you say, oh, I can't wait to get to middle school. You know, in your middle school, like, I have to get to high school. I get my driver's license. True. I'll get my boyfriend. You know, I'll get
a
boyfriend.
Go backwards now.
And for me personally, like, I went to college and I loved it, but I was broke. I was like, oh, I can't wait to get out of college and start my job. And then you work and then you're somewhere along the way, like, gee, I just can't wait to retire. And retires at your doorstep and you're like, okay, what do I do? You know, because your whole life, not that you wish it away, but you're always like future thinking.
Yes.
One of our clients, and again, it's in one of the books, I think Not Your Father's Retirement. He talks about Groundhog Day, the movie of Bill Murray. Funny, but not funny. If you're living through his the psychosis, but funny meaning, you know, you say, look, I would go out, I get the mail, get the paper, walk the dog, and I come in, it's 9 o'clock. And then I wake up the next morning to, I got you, babe. And remember, do you remember the movie, Connor?
Yeah.
A little bit. Okay. So that's what it was like. And again, not funny, but eventually people do find their purpose. But it is a transition nonetheless. Again, we try to stick with our sandbox and do the markets and numbers and help plan. But we do have to kind of talk a little bit about that for clients to make sure they kind of think this is a transition. If they want to volunteer at a hospital or go to SPCA and help out there, volunteer, do coaching, grandchildren, whatever it is, though, I think we need to spend some time thinking about what our days are going to look like when we do ultimately retire.
Yes, I think so too. I mean, I'm not really close to that, obviously, but
yeah, you only got like 40 more years before you retire.
Yeah, but I guess it's still something that we have to deal with, and we see our clients retiring, or
I mean, it's all good, but again, for us a lot. What you do with it. Yeah, it's, but there's some people that just come out of the box a little bit soft, and it usually takes some time, and usually they find their way. I will be back right after these messages.
You've probably been hearing me talk about Ken Mahoney's book for a long time, but maybe you weren't close to retirement and that kept you from calling. If you plan to retire in 2025 or within the next few years, pick up the phone and call today for your copy of Ken Mahoney's book, 10 Things to Do Before You Retire. To see if you're on course or off course, call 845-371-0101. That's 845-371-0101. The book is free for the first 20 callers. Ken has developed the GPS for your retirement. Grow, preserve, spend. In your golden years, you want to spend your money. I've read the book, found it insightful, and you will too. 10 Things to Do Before You Retire. The first 20 callers today get it for free. 845-371-0101. First 20 callers right now will get the book for free till they run out. 845-371-0101. Call right now. That number again, 845-371-0101 for Ken Mahoney's book, 10 Things to Do Before You Retire.
Welcome back to GPS Your Finances. So glad you're joining us here this early morning. And again, today's topic is your questions and our answers. But before we go there, we heard from Mike Bennett, our friend Mike Bennett, I should say. And he talked about my book, Not Your Father's Retirement. I want to get this out to the first 20 callers today. And I know you can do it. Here you go. 845-371-0101. I think it's a perfect companion to what we do here every Sunday morning. Sometimes you could join us, sometimes you can't, but it's all right there in those pages, building on your grandfather's retirement, grandma, just all the great things they have like pensions, but what you can do to try to improve your results. Here we go. 845-371-0101. You know the saying, the early bird gets the worm. That's you. The first 20 callers, and you're up early. First 20 callers will get this book for free. One more time. 845-371-0101. And we'll be with you here every Sunday morning. So if you're driving around these wee hours, chances are you may be an essential worker. If you are, you know, starting a shift or ending a shift, thank you. From 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, I've called it the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Hour. And of course, I give the WHD Hudson Valley Index report every morning around 825 after the traffic on the Mike Bennett Show. And around 6:15, we got you the other way, coming home from Andy Bale show, that's Bill Kugel of Mahoney Asset Management. He'll give you the national business news, what the indexes, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ did, or maybe what they didn't do. The local Hudson Valley business news that we created all right here, right here. Now, we consolidate all this information on our website at MahoneyGPS.com. Common spelling Mahoney, MahoneyGPS.com. Now, again, I was just on TV last week, so our TV appearances are archived there. Radio, podcasts like we have here, they're archived there as well. Articles, newsletters, education, everything we could think of, we put it up on our website, MahoneyGPS.com. Check it out. And sign for a newsletter. It's free. It comes out every Tuesday evening. That's it's a holiday. We don't bombard you with 6-7 different emails and, you know, a day. It's once a week, and we outline what's happening in the markets, and it relates to the radio show. So visit our site, MahoneyGPS.com. We're going to go to our mailbag here for the week. Connor was going around the office asking for some ideas, listening to some things. And again, we always hope that the questions that we share here is maybe questions that you have at home or on the road or wherever you might be.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. And I think a lot of people can get some good advice out of this. Not a recommendation, but why does the market tend to make its largest U-turns maybe at the beginning or end of a year?
I'm going to let you tackle that. That's a good question for you to tackle.
Yeah.
By the way, you know we don't do this at, well, actually, you collect them ahead of time. I don't know the questions before this, and then when I get one I'm not so sure about, I'll flip it back to you, Connor.
Yeah. Okay. So I've just, we've seen a lot of, 2021, the market peaked, and we saw, like, you know, 2022 is quite bad. And then 2022 into 2023, the first quarter was like, hey, you know, we're coming back. Things are changing. Inflation is coming down. They're not going to keep raising rates. And then 2024 came, and we know that the beginning of this year was tricky and ended up falling. And here we are at the, you know, later half of 2025, last quarter. And yeah. I do believe the market will rally into the end of the year. And we'll have to see what 2026 brings. But usually it's has to do with fund flows, I think, a lot, and what has happened in the prior year to some degree too. It takes a long time for institutions to move in the market. You know, you and me and anyone listening could buy and sell 100 or 200 shares like nothing. If they want to move, you know, 10 million shares and it's like billions of dollars in positioning, that takes a little bit of time. So sure. I think there are huge, like, big inflection points that it's almost like the big institutions like agree on, like, ah, oh, you know what? We had such a good 2025, perhaps. I'm not saying this is definitely going to happen, but it does in some way. You know, we need to sell some stuff for gains, and we had to sell other stuff because we had, like, you know, losses, and we were going to take the tax write-off. So I do think that's part of the reason, in my eyes, why there would be big U-turns at different year marks.
Yeah, that's interesting. It comes back to seasonality. I always think, you know, coming in December, and I've done this a lot of years where, you know, if you're up quite a bit and it's been a wall of worry, this has been a bull market that everybody hates, it seems, because there's still a lot of people on the sidelines saying, hey, the market's too expensive, or right, this shoot is wrong.
Oh my, yep.
And then you come in December with performance anxiety. Again, not the things you see on TV, but performance anxiety to do with the markets. Whereas people could actually, or institutions, could actually hate the market. They don't like anything about the market. They're bearish, but they got to keep up with the Joneses, and they may have to hold their nose and buy stocks. So sometimes you see these years where, you know, who knows what October is going to bring. October, hopefully the Yankees in the World Series, but it's another story.
Yeah.
But hopefully October, we get through, because it could be rather spooky, yes, pun intended, November. And then it sets up that if market's still up, like, you know, double digits for the year, you may see the first couple of weeks a lot of money rushing in, and that's the performance anxiety. Performance anxiety meaning, hey, the market's up 12 and you're down, and you're up 4% for the year because you remain bearish. Even if you don't like stocks, you find yourself in the flows happening. So again, some of it's seasonality. Again, we don't have a crystal ball with this, but there are these patterns where we have a really strong year, and so many of these money managers, institutions, have to play catch up.
Yes. No.
Not muster that catch up.
I think it's definitely a real thing. And I think we'll probably most likely see it unless something exogenous happens. I think that's probably what happens this quarter or in the end of the year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Really good question. I like these type of questions. All right, what else do you have in your bag of tricks?
Sure, let's look. Okay, so here's another good one, and we can talk about this for a while, maybe into the next section. But what is Sharpe ratio? You and I have been talking about this recently. Why should everyone who invests give this some consideration?
Wow, that's very technical. So Sharpe ratio is, let's say the S&P 500 is up 10% and your account made 5%. That would not be a good Sharpe ratio. So it's really comparing against an index. And of course, if the, let's say that particular item, ETF or stock, is up 15% with the S&P 500 up 10%, that's Sharpe ratio. So kind of let you also give an example of Sharpe ratio, but I want to make sure we cover why we're going to do a Greek here. Let's do a little, what is beta? What is alpha?
Yeah, I think actually you describe more as beta. Again,
I'm sorry?
I think what you describe more is beta. It's like how you measure against the S&P. But basically, this, I think Sharpe ratio is basically the risk versus reward. Essentially, you want that to be, it needs to be better than one. And there's a way to calculate it. I'm not going to go into that. But the idea is that if you have some cash and, you know, you're still investing and you're beating the S&P, you're the same as the S&P, you'd have a pretty good Sharpe ratio because you're not investing all your cash to get the same right return. If you have cash, it's not at risk of anything. And you're still investing alongside the S&P. And that's part of the strategies like we use. I don't think we have anyone 100% invested at all times. For the
right
most
people
part
need liquidity and so forth. Yeah. So let's say the market's up 10% and you made 10% with only half the money involved in the market, yep, or half the same sideline. That gives you what is called a good Sharpe ratio. That's mostly though, when I hear Sharpe ratios, I don't think it's mostly for the retail investors we speak to. I think more it's like institutions and the mm-hmm jargon mm-hmm that we throw around with other money managers. But it's always nice to know,
yeah, that's the concept.
You're being in the market and you're doing it with less risk. And we'll be back right after these messages.
You've probably been hearing me talk about Ken's book for a long time, but maybe you weren't close to retirement. That kept you from calling. If you plan to retire in 2025 or within the next few years, pick up the phone and call today to get your copy of Ken Mahoney's book, 10 Things to Do Before You Retire, to see if you are on course or off course. 845-371-0101. That's 845-371-0101. The book is free for the first 20 callers. You know, Ken has developed a GPS for your retirement to help you see where you are at and has helped hundreds of people plan for retirement. I've read the book, found it insightful. You should too. 10 Things to Do Before You Retire. The first 20 callers get the book for free. 845-371-0101. 845-371-0101. Each chapter builds on one another to put you and your loved ones in a better position financially. Here we go for the first 20 callers right now. Call 845-371-0101. That's 845-371-0101 for Ken Mahoney's book, 10 Things to Do Before You Retire.
Welcome back to GPS for Finances. Today's topic, questions and answers. You have the questions? I think we have the answers. You just heard from a friend, Mike Bennett, talk about my book, Not Your Father's Retirement. And I think you kind of get what that's about. But it's a perfect companion to what we do here every Sunday morning. Sometimes you can join us, sometimes you can't. Each chapter builds on top of each other. And here's the phone number once again. It's 845-371-0101. It's 845-371-0101. I think it's a perfect companion to what we do here Sunday mornings. As I mentioned, but remember, it sells on Amazon and Barnes & Noble for $17.99, but the early bird gets the worm. And that's you. I know you could get it. Here it is, 845-371-0101. Not Your Father's Retirement. One last time, pen and paper together. Here it is, 845-371-0101. If you are driving, stay driving, because the number you can get the book, well, that's a phone number, but we also give the website, MahoneyGPS.com, MahoneyGPS.com, and you can sign on and get the book sent to you as a paperback or as an ebook. And of course, we'll be here with you every Sunday morning. And if you're driving around these wee hours, thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. So from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, I've dubbed it the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Hour. Why not? And of course, I give the WHD Hudson Valley Index report every weekday morning, right after the traffic, around 8:25 on the Mike Bennett Show. It's in around 6:10, 6:15 on your way home. Yeah, the Andy Bell Show with our own Bill Kugel, Mahoney Asset Management. You know that Southern Charm. You've heard that before. Well, he'll give you national business news, what the indexes did, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, local business news, and the Hudson Valley Index that we created for you at home. All this information and more, including my TV appearances this past week, contributions to articles that I make and write articles, all of it appears at MahoneyGPS.com. Check us out, MahoneyGPS.com. We have everything there from newsletters you could sign up for, educational articles. It's all there on our website, MahoneyGPS.com. So, okay, Connor, going to your bag of trick, let's pull out another question for our listeners. And wow, this is pretty good. I'm liking what's happening here today.
So what do you think about consolidating old 401ks and retirement accounts or otherwise?
I'm going to give that back to you. I have some thoughts on that, but I want to hear what you have to say first.
Sometimes this is an interesting, because I have like a double-edged sword answer, because some people just want to see everything in one place, right. Which is fine.
The but older you get, I think that happens too, right? The older you get, you know, so put these things together, right?
Sometimes, you know, you could have a better CD rate somewhere else, or a better annuity product somewhere else, or a better, you know, fees somewhere else. You know, like some people end up having like five or six different institutions they use for savings or investing or otherwise. But then there's some people that just, they just like one place or like one service.
Right, consolidated.
It's just, it's a super cosmetic thing for some people. I'm not as cosmetic. I use different banks and different brokerages for different things, I guess. So I think it's definitely a personal preference.
Yeah, but, right. Yeah. To each his own on that one. That's a hard one. Like, I know when people get older, they're setting up a trust. I actually spoke to a client today, setting up a trust. Mom passed away. Now the siblings involved, and they want to kind of keep everything together. And then I hear some people like, hey, like they like to work for Mahoney Asset Management because they like the planning, or they like some of the performance, maybe, whatever these different things are. Oh, but they also like to have a bank account because, of course, they should have a bank account with liquidity. So, and I've seen it also. Like, one thing to know, we don't need 18 different ones. And the need for consolidation doesn't mean you have to consolidate to one, let's say, brokerage firm or one institution. But over the years, like, oh, I have a couple IRAs out there, put $2,000 in a year, $2,000 a year. Then I open a Schwab trading account. Oh, then I inherited my aunt's thing. And now you have 19 different ones. Again, I know you can track things a lot better now with technology.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think there is a case of having too many. Again, that's kind of a weird example, but I don't know what the right number is. It really depends on a person. But I know over the years, we've consolidated. Some people have like 12 things all over the place. They're getting older, they got sick, and they want the next of kin to be able to track this a lot easier. But again, to each his own. And now with online, it does make it easier to consolidate. You could actually bring these, you know, different accounts into like one app, so to speak. Again, in the eyes of the beholder, so to speak.
Beholder. Yeah, that's a good point.
Eyes of the beholder.
All right. Since we've been talking about how good the market is, I feel like all the time we need to play the other side of the trade here and talk about, you know, why does risk happen so fast? How do you react or prepare for that?
So we know markets go up by way of escalator. And when they come down, it happens fast, as you said in that question. And it comes down by way of elevator. Really fast, right? Mm-hmm. So since we know we're going to have the escalator, and we just don't know exactly when that elevator is going to hit, when you have these parabolic moves like we're having, especially in the area of tech, and it's exciting, believe me, we're on tech, we're all over it, we're in the cloud. I'm not in the cloud, but some days I'm in the cloud. Cloud and robotics and data centers and so forth. You know, it's really, really exciting. But when you do have these outsized gains, incrementally, you want to take some money off the table. Does one thing, it locks in some of your gain. It lowers your cost basis. And instead of playing, again, we know we're going to have volatility. So you can make volatility your friend or your foe. Mm-hmm. And if you're 100% invested in stocks and we have a big downturn, let's say another, God forbid, October type of ugliness, you can't really do much about it. You're fully invested. But if you've shaved off, again, this is incremental. This is not buy or hold. This is not, again, buy or sell. This is not 100% timing. But what if you took 20, 25% off of some of your holdings that did really well? Now you have them. And now you're set for the elevator, which will happen at some point. And then you make your shopping list and you find the names that you really like. So I think that the original question is, you know, since why does risk happen fast? I'll let you answer that. I kind of answered my own question I made up.
No, it's okay.
But it's important to the listeners to know that we go through these cycles, prepare for these cycles, have a strategy around these cycles is what we do as professionals.
Yeah. I think our friend Keith, he's like a consultant to us. He was on Wall Street for a very long time, 30 years. Highly, highly like, this is the smartest guy I ever talked to. He knows a lot about analytics and data and stuff, and super interesting. But one thing that he said I thought was cool was like, it's just this analogy. He's like, everyone, it's like, just think of like a boat. He's like, everyone's just hanging out on one side and like, you know.
That's where the whale is. That's where the dolphins are.
They're going to run the other side. And or just like the analogy of like everyone's hanging out in a room and there's a fire and then everyone just got to run out the door and it's like this bottleneck. And I guess the same concepts happen in the market where like everyone is just on one side of the trade. And that is where we are now, and it could last for such a long time. But if you get some bad news, like, you know, and this could easily happen, I hope it doesn't, but it's just like Trump is like warmongering with Russia, or like there's a really bad variant of a virus. Like it could be anything, as we know has happened before. And that is obviously scary. And the first market sells and then ask questions later.
But yeah. The computer's algorithms just go off. Yep.
It could be any catalyst that you don't even see coming out of nowhere. And it happened and it happens. So that's why we are just always like cautious, I guess. You always feel like cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, don't mess with the stock odds. If things are going well, it's like golf. If, let's say you're a par golfer and you hit a couple of birdies, don't start doing high fives. Same thing in the market. Stay humble, because the market is very humbling. Yes. It's like a Bronco and wants to knock you off. Risk happens fast. Get your escalators, get your elevators, and we're out of time.
Damn. We're out of time.
You're out of time. But we'll talk as well. Look, this is always my favorite time of the year, as I tell you, Connor, spending time with you. And for a listening audience, until next week, we hope you have a happy, healthy, and a prosperous one.
You've been listening to A GPS for Your Finances with Ken and Connor Mahoney. Ken is the president and CEO of Mahoney Asset Management. This is a weekly paid commercial program, and the views, opinions, and advice presented are that of the host and guests and do not represent any guarantee of results or represent the opinions of the staff and management of 100.7 WHUD or PAML Broadcasting. If you've missed previous editions of A GPS for Your Finances, you can listen to them anytime by visiting WHUD.com. Ken and Connor will answer your questions next week. Just send them an email, ken@mahoneygps.com, and listen for the next edition of A GPS for Your Finances next Sunday morning at 6 a.m. right here on 100.7 WHUD.